If you have your Bibles, I want you to actually turn to, we're actually going to look at the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to try to tie up the series that we've been doing on the Ten Commandments, I want to look at a passage of Scripture that Jesus begins to talk about the kingdom of God, because after 10 weeks of the Ten Commandments, I'm just wondering how you feel about that application to your life. I mean, that was 10, these are 10 big commandments, right? I mean, don't steal, do not lie, do not commit adultery, do not covet, remember the Sabbath day, honor your father and mother, all these different things. I mean, how do you feel after hearing, hey, these are 10 weeks on the law of God? This is the way in which God wants us to live. And I want you to think of God's desire for us to live. I want you to think of it as, this may sound, well, as a kingdom. And all I mean by kingdom is you only would use the word kingdom if there was a ruler. And so if you would live in a kingdom, you live under the rule and reign of the king. And Jesus says, I want you to love the law, right? I want you to love the law, and I want us to talk about what it means to live a kingdom life, a rule by God life. And all throughout the Gospels, Jesus gives us some parables, and sometimes Jesus gives us some metaphors to help clarify what that actually means, right? What does it mean? Okay, all right, Taylor, you're up here, you're saying, okay, this is what we should know, and then therefore, if this is true, we want to live like this. And Jesus begins to, you know, give us little insights into it. And so in this passage, it reads, this is the Gospel of Luke. Jesus asked, he says, what is the kingdom of God like? What is it like to live under the rule and reign of God? If you claim to be within his kingdom, Jesus, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Gives us two visuals here. It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. Again, he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? What's the rule and reign of God like? Well, it's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And when you just hear that passage, I mean, what do you think Jesus is trying to say? How are we to view the rule and reign of God over us? Because I don't know, if you listen to the way Christianity is treated in the news, right? If you read an article in a magazine or you see a news show, many times people say, well, Christianity is this. It's the position that says these intellectual ideas, right? It's expressed as a group of ideas. So if you are a Christian, you are someone who sits on television versus maybe an atheist, and you just explain these set of ideas. I mean, that's what it seems like, right? When you hear people around our town talk about Christianity, it's a set of it's a set of intellectual platitudes, and that's very often how Christianity, how people approach Christianity. And so I ask you, do you do that? Because when you look at what Jesus says here in these two metaphors, a seed and yeast, and then Paul is talking to this church in Corinth, and he's had enough of people explaining Christianity as a bunch of ideas. He's like, no. You know, Paul says it's like this, this next slide here. He says, for the king, the rule and reign of God is not in word. Let's stop talking like this. It is in power. If you want to talk about true Christianity, then there better be power. And that's my question. And that's the scripture's question to us. It is the power of God, right? The gospel is the power of God. Too many times we talk about just the words, just the... No. It is the power of God. And so essentially, Christianity is power. And so, do you ever look at your life and say, wow, look at that. Christianity took that out of my life. Oh my word, Christianity, the power that is the gospel, gave me this. This is in my life. The power of God is in my life. The power of God took this out of my life. That's the way in which Jesus and Paul says we have to define Christianity as power. I had no idea that I could see my paycheck and the gospel changed my life, and this new world order that I have says, divide this by 10 and write that tithe check every week. And it doesn't bother me because I am not ruled by money. I don't care. If this is what Jesus says is what we do, I give an offering. Do you know I actually text people now and ask other people about how they're doing? I never did that before I was a Christian. Like, I will think about conversations I had during the week, and I'll go back to that person and I will shoot them a text and ask them how they are. I never ever thought about other people before I became a Christian. Do you know I will sit for an hour and a half and watch a Hallmark movie with my wife? And I might even shed a tear. Because you know what now? You know what happens? The power of God in my heart, I feel things that I never thought I'd ever felt. Do you know I laugh harder now as a Christian when I watch comedies or when we're as a family or I just do something stupid? I don't even care if I do anything stupid. It's funny to me now. Whereas before I was so angry, I looked stupid. I am free to laugh. And you know what? If I feel emotional and I'm sad, I cry because I am alive. And that is the power of God in me. And do you know that ever since I got this job, this new job, and I'm a Christian, I've never worked so hard in my entire life. Because you know what I realized the gospel says? My audience isn't my boss. You know, it's him. And he's given me life. And so I work my tail off, right? I mean, I work my tail off and I do it for him because he gave me the ability to do this. I was not a lazy person, but I kind of gave half effort a lot of times, but now I don't. Because the gospel has given me new life. It's the power of God in me that's playing itself out. Do you believe that Christianity is just a set of ideas? All right? Because some of us come into this room and we say this, you know, I am so thankful that Jesus has forgiven me. And as long as I'm very sorry, that's what Christianity is for me. It's me essentially coming in here, realizing my sin, and being so thankful that Christ forgives me, period. That's it. And here's what the scriptures, it's so much more than that. I mean, have you left here the past 10 weeks feeling terrible that you can't, you know, Taylor, I know we shouldn't covet, but I know I'm going to covet. So I go out for the next week, I covet at different times, and I come in here and I ask for forgiveness, right? And then I go out and I shouldn't steal things, and I don't think I do, but I probably am not as generous as I should be, and I kind of steal things, and so I mess up, and I come in, and I just come in here again on the next Sunday, say I'm sorry, and you know, rinse, repeat, and that's what Christianity is. These set of ideals about forgiveness. Of course, it's about forgiveness, but all of a sudden, when Jesus begins to say, "No, it's more than that," right? He says, "Look, it is about the power of life. It's about a ruling power that you can have inside of you. That's what the scriptures say." Now, all right, so two points, that's it. Not three, just two. That's good, right? Maybe a little quicker, some of you are thinking, right? I can read minds, okay. One, it's the power of new life. What it means to be a Christian is way more than ideas. You have the first metaphor. What is it? It's a seed, right? You have a seed that goes into the dirt. And as he's beginning to talk about the seed, ultimately what we realize is you have to receive the seed. You have to receive this mustard seed, this true seed. Because the Bible says that Christianity, true Christianity, is always born again Christianity. I know that has a lot of connotations to it that aren't fun. But no, it's the truth. The only type of true Christianity is born again Christianity. You have to be born, the scriptures say, of a new seed. You can't be born of perishable seed, you have to be born of imperishable seed. That's what it means to be born again. And that is what gives you a new life. Hear this. First Peter says this, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." Here's what the half-brother of Jesus, James, says about Jesus. "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." John, his closest friend, says this, "Unless you were born of the Spirit, you of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." Right? It is to be born again. And John calls it, look, you're gonna have the Spirit of God inside of you. The only type of Christianity that's true is born again, new seed Christianity. Have you been born again? Right? You have this new life. And if you don't, then Jesus says you're not of this kingdom. This, none of this applies to you. Yeast, seeds, it won't make any sense. It has nothing to do with you. I mean, this will not be. But if you have, here's what it means. Is you've been raised, right? You've been raised from a lower state to this new world order, to this new way of life, right? Jesus' rule brings in a whole new order of life. Think of the kingdoms that you learned in fifth grade, right? What do you have? You have the plant kingdom, right? Then you have the animal kingdom, and then you have like the human kingdom. And you think about the different levels of living that a plant versus an animal have, right? Animal have five senses. Plants don't. An animal, they can at some level make decisions, right? However, they cannot make decisions based upon justice, based upon beauty, based upon truth, like humans can make decisions. We are different than animals, and animals are different than plants, right? And so when you think about the different ways in which you live, if you were to use the term a vegetable state, right? If you've ever used that term before, they're in a vegetable state. Here's what it means. It means you're talking about someone who's existing, but they're not living, right? Who's someone, I mean, they're breathing, right? Their heart is beating. They have a breathing rate, but they aren't living. And what Jesus says is, I've come to give you new life, right? You will no longer exist in that vegetative state. I want to what? I want to give you eternal life. And I want you to have it in your thoughts. And I want you to have it in your behaviors. And I want you to have it in your feelings. Every area of your life can be changed if you have that new seed. And it only has to be a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it's true, when it's real, right? Everything ultimately changes. You see the world that you will live at a completely different level. It's like, you know, you've heard these terrible stories this summer about, just an animal attacking a human and killing a human, right? A gator doing that. We heard about that. Does the gator have any feelings after that? No. I mean, we just heard this week about the reserve in Africa where these poachers were trying to cut off the rhino's tusk, right? And this pride of lions came and killed these three guys. And they found these bodies. What did the lions feel about that after they did that? Well, nothing. They were just, hey, this is a threat in some way, whatever. They don't feel grief afterwards. They don't feel a moral prick inside of themselves. They live at the animal level. And so when you have animal responses that are pretty automatic, automatic responses, as opposed to human responses, hopefully humans are different than animals. But Jesus says, look, you can live eternally in a completely different way, right? Because a person who has eternal life sees things that before they didn't even know that they're there. So when someone has eternal life and they walk into the office, right? Here's what they know. I'm called to be an ambassador. My boss, I know, doesn't know Jesus. And I'm the ambassador that God has placed here. So what do you see? You see things differently. You hear what your boss says differently. Your coworker, you listen to what they say with a mindset of, okay, here's what Jesus tells me to be, light and salt. I got to be alive, right? I got to make them want to desire to eat. And look what they just said about their weekend, their July 4th experience. We hear things. And we think, God has given me eternal life, and I'm thinking eternally for that person, even though they don't know Jesus. You sit in your, you know, freshman year history class at Sickles High School, and you think, wow, that person doesn't look like they've had anybody talk to them in 3 weeks. They just seem to be down. I'm going to ask them what lunch they're in, or I'm going to ask them if they have the same lunch as me, and maybe I'll eat lunch with them. Because you see things as Christians that you didn't see before. And non-Christians don't see that. I mean, maybe they want to be nice to people, but there's no reason for them to be nice. There's no eternal reason. We have that eternal right, those glasses that we see. And so something in the way we see the world, Jesus says, it's got to be different because you've come from different seed. Your will, if you have new seed, you have the ability to break habits. So if you're at 4 o'clock in your weekday and you're thinking, the only thing I can do is get to the liquor cabinet, you have the ability literally to break that habit that you didn't have before. You do. That's what Jesus says. You have the power of God that can transform inside of you. But some of you don't believe that because you're coming in here and you're just thinking Christianity is a set of ideas. And all we're going to do is just talk about forgiveness, rinse, repeat. That's it. Each week. No. Christianity is the power of God to change your wills. You can change your behaviors. You can stop looking at that on the internet. You can, through the power of God. You can stop over whatever it is you over, right? You can stop overdoing whatever it is. We have the ability to do that. And you have capacity now. You have the power of God to feel. To feel the love of God in your heart. For you to see and to look and to behave, but then to existentially feel compassion. To feel joy in ways you've never felt before. And that's what Jesus says. Do you know what the rule and reign of Jesus is? It's like a mustard seed. It's so small, but it's got to be from imperishable stuff. And this mustard seed, if it's from imperishable stuff, will change the world. And it's so small. That's all you have to have the faith as. The faith of a mustard seed. I can't even talk. Sorry. And so, where are you this morning? Right? It's the power, right? The power of new life. That's what Jesus is trying to connect with you. So, it's not just that we hear the Ten Commandments, not for you just to hear them and say, okay, I know I'm going to break them, and this is how much I need a huge Jesus. That is so true. But it's also to say, no, you can stop lying. You can. Through the power of Jesus inside of you, you can stop being a jealous person or a have-to-have person. You will stop being a consumer. You can feel contentedness right now. Okay, that's the first point. And we're already to point number two. This is good. Both a seed, what's true about both a seed and yeast? What a seed and yeast, they always do what? And this is what he's trying to tell us, the second point. They always grow, right? They just do. They always grow. And so because of the power of the yeast and the power of the seed, but if you look at both of them, you have a very, very small seed, and you've got a yeast, and it's very, it can be deceptive. Because what if you took a slab of concrete and you took a plant, right? And you took a slab of concrete and a plant and you just threw them together. What would happen? Just a big slab of concrete and a plant, you know, you put them together, that concrete would absolutely smash that plant. But what happens if you take that plant, right, and you put it under my driveway, right? What happens over time? And you're in Florida, and it's got a lot of sun, and it's got a lot of water. That plant begins to grow. And next thing you know, that concrete is no match for my concrete. That begins to fracture and make me angry inside and have to change that, right? It's no match, and that's what Jesus is saying. Do you know that the kingdom of God, it looks like yeast? And here's the deal, is that it is small and it is deceptive, but it will inevitably grow. It has to grow. It's going to be gradual, but it's going to be relentless. And that is what happens inside of us. We have power the power of God inside of us. And I know you just want your problems to just stop. But that's not what happens. That's not the way in which the kingdom of God generally works. It's going to be gradual, but over time, when you feed this, right, and you live in this, that plant overcomes what you thought was the concrete of my alcoholism, right? Or the devastation of being divorced, or whatever it is you have. And that plant, right, that yeast works its way up. That seed grows and cracks that concrete that you were sure in your heart you would never get over, right? I can never overcome my mouth, right? The language, my anger. It is concrete, Frank, and it has been cured, and nothing's going to move it. No. But it's no match for a plant that over time finds ways to break through, right? And to work. And, you know, when you begin to understand this and you begin to see this, you begin to change. Now, here's the thing. When you become a Christian and God begins to work itself in, you keep your personality. Some people think, well, then don't I just become like a robot for God? Isn't that what it means? No. You keep your personality, right? You keep your talents that God has given you. But you have your own gifts, right? Your talents, your treasure, your time, and now you have the divine attributes of God himself. You put those two things together and you will utterly change, right? Your thinking, right, will change, right? When you have new life and that new life begins to grow, his holiness isn't just a concept to you anymore. His love isn't just a concept to you. They begin to thrill you. When you see your son, right, forgive your other son, or your daughter love their son, and you see that in your family, and you realize that's from God, and you realize that's the gospel playing itself out in your family, there's something inside of you as a father that is just thrilled. That would have never been thrilled before, because you realize how much you are a hypocrite as a father. And you thought, man, I've always got to just put on the mask in front of my family. But now, I don't. I can tell my kids I need the grace of Jesus and let that free them up, right? Because if dad had need to be forgiven, and he told me about all his sin, I thought he'd never tell me that he actually sinned. But if dad did it, then you know what? I'm gonna forgive my little brother. I'm gonna forgive my older brother. I'm gonna forgive my younger sister because my dad did it. Because I saw the gospel played itself out in his house. And those things begin to thrill you as a dad or as a mom. And you don't change your personality, and it doesn't necessarily change what you like or some of your routine, but in reality, everything is changed, right? Your thoughts, the way you view things has changed. And that's what it says. Look, the rule and reign of God is like yeast, right? The rule and reign of God is like mustard seed. And so my question, are you changing? Is your life changing? Is there a difference in your life? Because if you deal with, just take worry, right? And you're not an animal, and you're not a plant. In fact, you're not just human anymore. You're a Christian, right? You have this new world order, and you find yourself worrying all the time. Why? Because here's what you believe at that moment, that the threats of life are more real than God's wisdom, right? That's why you live a life of the reality of your circumstances are in HD, and the reality of God's love is in black and white. That's what it is. That's why you worry all the time. And it's one thing to be concerned. It's one thing to see, hey, a situation arose. You're like, okay, I need to be aware of that. But it's another thing, and those of you that just people classify you as a worrying, anxious person. That's the reality is the circumstances of your life are much bigger than the love and the grace and the truth of God. Why do you worry? If you're bitter, how do you stay in that bitterness? The people only stay bitter because what? Because whatever someone has done to you, whatever you're angry about, that's always bigger than the mercy God has shown to you. That's why you're an angry person. That's why you're a bitter person. It's because whatever happened to you is the biggest thing. And the mercy of God is smaller. And Jesus says, no. Here's what we're going to do. It's not going to happen overnight. Yeah, I know. They abused you. I know. But you know what? My grace to you is bigger than that abuse. It's bigger. When that thing begins to get bigger, and it's going to take some time, but hey, it will grow. And if it's truly there, the power of God will change you. Not the words of God, not the platitudes of God, not the ideas of God or the gospel, but the power of God, Paul says. Corinth, you're in Corinth. You're in like New York City of Asia Minor. And you have to live differently. I mean, you're in a cosmopolitan city where, you know, you just live this Greco-Roman world and pretty much morals are out the door. I need for you to play out the power of God in your salvation now, please. Not words, not ideas, not forgiveness. The actions, the power of God, right? And so when you begin what Jesus has done for you, when you begin to see it be real, right? Here's what happens. The bitterness begins to leave when you begin to understand what Jesus has done, and you can be fully present in ways that you can't before, right? You can be fully present with your friends. There's a sense of there-ness, right? Of presence that you can have. And people will start say to you, you're different, man. I don't know what it is, but when we used to talk, I kind of felt like you were kind of listening, but really not there fully. But man, now it's like when we have a beer or when we have a coffee or when we hang out, you're just there, man. And you're there to serve. And you're there to ask me questions. And it's different. And when that begins to happen, hey man, families change, small groups change, whole churches change. And people sense, man, the power of God, which is from the gospel, is here at this place, right? It's here. These people, yeah, quote, follow the Ten Commandments, but they're not following the Ten Commandments. They're living out the gospel. So you know what? They don't covet a lot. We don't see a lot of adultery. Yeah, there's temptation, but we don't see a lot of it. These people are generous, right? We see families that want to stay intact and fight, right? And fight to stay together. And when we have this type of kingdom and rule and reign of God, it is beautiful. Why? Because when Jesus comes, he comes in power. When Jesus comes to bring heaven to earth, he comes in power. Is your life changing? That's the question. I mean, looking at this passage, that's the only thing I can ask myself. Is my life changing, right? And so when you understand that the gospel says God loves you as much as he loves his own son, and Jesus says, I want you to love them even as you have loved me. Jesus says to you and to me, I want you to love your world. When you go to work, I want you to love them as much as you've loved me. I want you to do that. Can you do that? Can you not just stay in your tribe? Can you love others as much as you love me? Because, man, I loved you when I shouldn't have. I laid my life down for you. Please do that. And when we realize this, right? And you can look right now. And it, I mean, we can truly say it doesn't matter what condition that you came into this room. You can leave a different person. Utterly changed because something has come into you because you received it today that will change you forever. That can happen this morning. The gospel in you can happen this morning. That no matter what you've done, no matter how you feel, no matter what your record is, you can be utterly different today. God can plant his seed in you and it will grow and grow and grow and grow more into eternal life. That's what he is saying, the rest of your life. And for those that don't know Jesus, that's the offering of the new seed. For those that do know Jesus, can you see progress? Right? At some level, I want to say to some of you who are discouraged, don't be so discouraged. Because some of you are, I know, in this room. And some of this passage tells you, it's gradual, man. Yeast and dough, it's gradual. You need to stop beating up on yourself because it's going to take some time. But it will be relentless and it will happen. That's what some of you need to hear. And that is the truth. And I know as Americans, we can be so impatient, but that's part of Christianity, is allowing the gospel to work itself out in us. But on the other hand, those of you who are not seeing any changes at all, I want to say this. Well, the tools of the power are here. And it says, are you spending time in the Word? If you're not seeing change in your life, That's the question you have. Are you spending time in God's word? Are you what? Are you spending time before God? Are you using the gospel to understand who he is, to get near him in your prayer time? Please do that. I mean, we're here, the power of God to change us. Are you spending time with the people of God? Are you spending time in worship, or is this an occasional thing for you? It's what you need. It's your essential to worship God together. We know that this is how we're made. This is how we grow. Is it happening? Why is the kingdom of God in your life so much about words and not about power? And this should convict us in beautiful ways. Not to beat us up, not to make us feel like we're going to lose our salvation, but sometimes a good coach, and Jesus is the coach who says, hey, pal, no. You're always going to be on the team, but my goodness, boy, you don't even come to practice anymore. You don't even give any effort. And a true Christian grows, and it's powerful, and it's gradual, and it's relentless. So where are you? I want the 10 weeks of 10 commandments and the way in which we live our lives, right, to be married to Jesus saying this, hey, no, let's let it happen. Let's let the 10 commandments work itself out in our lives and see true, not perfect, but indelible change, right? I mean, it's undeniable the change that you see in your life. That's what's offered to us. Because Paul even says, if you've never seen change, you have to ask yourself, are you really a Christian? I mean, just be honest. Are you really a Christian? Because when Jesus comes, he comes in power. And change does happen. And, you know, when you really think about the cross as the greatest act of power in history, you know why it is? If you really think about it, because the most powerful human being who ever lived, Jesus Christ, right? The Son of the Righteous One, when he was beaten for us, when he was mocked for us, when he was scourged for us, that voice that created the world, you know what the voice of the Father said when Jesus was going through all that? Nothing. The Father watched his Son be beaten and killed, and he didn't say a word. What father would do that? And he's saying, that, right, that sacrifice, all of that is how much he loves you. That is what he has done for you. And so God didn't lift a finger of his power. But because he became weak, Jesus, God, we get his strength, right? And so when Jesus is weak, so that we can get his strength, do you know that Jesus and God want to produce at Westtown Church and in your families humble and strong Christians that can think, that can act and feel in new kingdom ways? That's what he wants to produce. And if that is not happening, that's our metric, right? If you have a metric in your business, like, what's the bottom line then? I mean, what is it? Well, the bottom line is, hey, are we thinking differently? Are we acting differently? Are we feeling differently because of what the gospel has done? That's the metric that we use. And that's what he's asking. Is that happening? The power of the gospel is hidden, right? It's secretive at times, but it's relentless, right? And when we understand what he's given to us, we get his strength. And so as you think this morning, here's what we talk about, and I've said this many times, but a good sermon is supposed to what? Comfort the afflicted, and a good sermon is supposed to afflict the comfortable, right? If you come in here and you're comfortable, you're supposed to be afflicted. If you come in here and you're feeling afflicted, you're supposed to feel comforted because of the grace of Jesus. But he wants to come, and he wants to come in power. Where are you this morning? Let this sink into your hearts and into your minds. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father God, we need your help, and your gospel, like seed, God, it's supposed to usher in this new life, and this new life grows. The old is gone and the new has come, and the growth should work its way like yeast into dough. And it's not going to be perfect, we know that, but it is going to be legitimate, and it's going to be real. Power comes with the gospel. And so, God, that power should play itself out in our lives. God, give us some grace this week, or maybe even after church today, to go to lunch and to talk through with our families and our loved ones our thoughts that are to be changing for you. Maybe some false thoughts that Satan has. God, give us courage to talk about what are some behaviors that we know you want to see more change in. Because you want us to be salt and light to the world. And then, God, what are some of these emotions that we have? Either to say, hey, look what you've done and just give you more praise, or to say, okay, God, this emotion, right? This bitterness, this rage, this anger, this sadness, this depression, it's time for it to lift. I'm not believing something that I need to believe. God, give us a vision for what you want for each individual here, God. And may we take steps, because we kingdom power grows. The rule and reign of God in our lives grows. If it's true, it grows. Thank you. In your name.